a lone figure on a stage making people laugh. That solitude is what many say makes stand-up tougher and riskier than other kinds of comedy. We're going to spend time now with some stand-up pioneers. Cliff Nesteroff is author of the new book, The Comedians, Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy. He says much of modern stand-up grew out of two great traditions in American humor, African-American and Jewish-American. Here are two beloved examples of the latter, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner.
I'm interested in the origin of words, where words come from. Simple words like
cheese.
Well,
a lot of them you pick up on the street.
What?
Words.
No, I mean,
oh, you mean
where
TV?
They come
oh.
from. I see, where they come from. For instance, a word like origin. Cheese. What's the origin of the word cheese?
Cheese came from the first man who discovered cheese. He looked into a big barrel, see,
mm-hmm.
of souring milk, milk that was souring,
mm-hmm.
and he sniffed it and he went, sheesh!
Like many other great Jewish comedians, Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner polished their jokes in the resorts of the Catskill Mountains, the Borscht Belt. As Nesteroff writes, places where out-of-work vaudevillians could chase a paycheck.
The Borscht Belt and the Catskills are interesting. They were an outgrowth that kind of spawned because vaudeville collapsed. So the stock market crashes in 1929, and vaudeville now is not profitable. They have these enormous ornate theaters that seat 5,000 people, and people can't even afford to go to the shows. But a few years later, then we see the growth of the Catskills in upstate New York. People are trying to escape their troubles of the Great Depression, so they went up there to have a good time. It was inexpensive, and it was predominantly Jewish comedians performing for a Jewish audience. So there were a lot of guys, Robert Klein talks about this later because this lasted a long time, guys who would go up on stage, comedians, they would do their whole setup in English, and then the punchline would be in Yiddish. And if you didn't speak Yiddish, you were left in the dark while the rest of the audience laughed, you know. And then the Chitlin circuit was African-American comedians performing for African-American audiences because comedy was segregated back then. It just wasn't allowed. You could be a orchestra leader or a singer and be African-American addressing a white crowd, but it was not acceptable in those days for a black comedian to address a white crowd because as a comedian on stage, you are superior to your audience. You're giving them your point of view. And in those days, it wasn't allowed. So the Chitlin Circuit alleviated that thing.
And one of the stars to be of the Chitlin Circuit, a young man by the name of John Sanford, became running buddies with another up-and-comer, Malcolm Little. They would both become famous for very different reasons under different names. John Sanford, Red Fox, Malcolm Little, Malcolm X.
Malcolm X and Red Fox were best friends in the late 1940s. They were both street hustlers around New York. They used to break into a dry cleaner at night, steal the suits that were being cleaned on the rack, and then sell those suits the next day off a rooftop down the street. And that's how they made their living. And they eventually drifted apart into their own universe. But yeah, they were very close friends.
But Red Fox, he was not kind of Chitlin Circuit-ish, but kind of he was a bridge to people like Richard Pryor.
Absolutely. He really influenced a lot of people, and he doesn't get the credit. He's really a man who's responsible for a lot of important firsts. Jumping ahead to 1966, he was the first African-American comedian to headline a Las Vegas hotel. In 1967, he became the first African-American business owner in Beverly Hills when he opened up the Red Fox Club. But going back even earlier to 1956, this is really important. Red Fox was the very first stand-up comedian to record his act on a vinyl record. This guy, Dootsie Williams, who was a very important African-American record mogul in the 1950s, signed him up. He took a risk. He signed up Red Fox. Red Fox initially said, no, man, I don't want to do it because people will have my act and they won't come see my show live. But then 5 days later, Red Fox was dead broke and came back to Dudo Records and said, hey, man, what was that thing you said about recording my act?
We have some neighbors. They fight all the time. And the husband got real bad. He told his wife, see, I'm going out with the boys, and if you don't like it, lump it. He said, I got a date and I'm going out, and you know who's going to help me get dressed? You. You know who's going to get my suit out the closet? You. He said, you know who's going to tie my tie? She said, yeah, the Undertaker.
Until Red Fox, no stand-up comedian had ever recorded his act and put out a record. Now that's one of the most common things in the world, and back then it created a craze, and Red Fox is responsible.
There never was a women's version of the Chitlin Circuit or the Borscht Belt. There was nothing like that because, for one thing, women as a group of comedians emerged much later in the game.
Well, you know, World War II was very interesting. Just like women entered the workforce during World War II because the men were overseas, so too did some female comedians. So in my book, I talk about a woman named Jean Carroll. And Jean Carroll was the very first, in my opinion, female stand-up comedian. She simply went up and she told joke, 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 joke.
How do you like my tan? I just got back from Florida. Oh, I met so many lovely women. We used to sit around the pool and tell lies. And you know, it's real. They had another girl. Wow, did she have a dress on? If it was any lower on the top and any higher on the bottom, it would have been a belt.
So she became a bit of a star during the Second World War, and she got a lot of stage time, and she got rave reviews. And so all throughout the late 40s, Jean Carroll was like a novelty. She was the female comedian. She was a precursor to Phyllis Diller, a precursor to Joan Rivers, a precursor to Lily Tomlin. And incidentally, Lily Tomlin used to play dress-up when she was a child, put on an Angora sweater, and pretend that she was Jean Carroll. But when the war ended, in typical 1950s fashion, she did something that a lot of women did, which was retreat from the workforce and become a housewife and start to raise a family. So Jean Carroll never had the career she should have had. Minnie Pearl, who people know from Hee Haw, should have gotten more credit. She was touring around the Southern Circuit all throughout the 30s and 40s as a female stand-up comedian. Moms Mabley on the Chitlin Circuit was hilarious, and a lot of her stuff holds up because her character was hysterical. She deserves a lot of credit.
Man, the first night home with his wife, telephone kept on ringing. He finally got up and answered it. Got back in bed, he said, "Who was it, darling?" He said, "Some crank trying to get the Weather Bureau." Kept on asking, "Was the coast clear?"
Cliff Nesteroff is the author of the new book, The Comedians, Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, it's your thing. Do what you want to do.